Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Each week, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation, makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war, makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. Philco is assisted in discovering your choices for the Radio Hall of Fame by the editors of that famous weekly of show business, Variety. Today's lineup includes Charles Boyer, Diana Lynn, Jackie Miles, Nan Wynn, the Delta Rhythm Boys, and Paul Whiteman with orchestra and male chorus. This afternoon, we break a precedent by having a guest mistress of ceremonies who has been elect fame quite as much for the great job she has done entertaining your fighting men overseas as for the fact that she is one of the most versatile stars in motion pictures, a talented actress, singer, dancer, and author, the glamorous 20th century Fox star who's soon to be seen in Having Wonderful Crime, Carol Landis.
Well, thank you very much, Glenn Riggs. It's a real honor to be on the Radio Hall of Fame. And, well, as Glenn just called me an author, I guess you heard that. It's true that lately I've been trying to get famous as a writer. But then quite a few actresses have dashed off some bestsellers. For instance, Gypsy Rose Lee has become a famous writer. And Gypsy had a lot less to start with than I did. But seriously, it was fun putting down the experiences of four Jills in a Jeep, and especially that thrilling moment when we four girls landed in Africa. Those soldiers took one look at us and threw away their good conduct medals. But to get down to the business at hand, in your Radio Hall of Fame is an indigo room especially reserved for top-notch blues singers. And there, perched on a figurative pedestal this afternoon, is Nan Wynn, mistress of song. She's so good that Billy Rose has made her a star of the most lavish stage review ever produced, the forthcoming Seven Lively Arts. And now, singing There Goes That Song Again is Nan Wynn.
There goes that song again. We used to call it our serenade. We fell in love when we heard it played over and over and over and over again. I still remember when we sang the words and they made you mine. I'd steal a kiss and repeat each line over and over and over and over, and then we drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listen just starts me reminiscing. I'd soon forget that. Again, I told myself when you said so long, but I was wrong. There goes that song again. Although the countless melodies, this one stirs up the best, and it's my request. So play, please, over and over and over and over again. Isn't it funny how one listen just starts me reminiscing? I know that I I told myself when you said so long. But I was wrong, there goes that song again.
Oh, that hot song delivery of Nan Wins would take the chill out of anything, except perhaps refrigerators. Glenn Riggs, what have you to say about them thar Philco refrigerators?
Plenty, Carol. If most people were asked to make suggestions on the design of a new refrigerator, would they agree with a recent survey made among women by a prominent metropolitan newspaper? For instance, one of the leading ideas was to provide an ample space for the storage of frozen foods. Well, if you were to make this suggestion, you would probably add, yes, like the Philco Advanced Design Refrigerator I've been hearing about on the Radio Hall of Fame. For it's true that this idea is not new with Philco. They pioneered with the introduction of a real built-in freezer locker in their complete line of refrigerators even before the war. Today, owners of a Philco Advanced Design refrigerator have an ample space where meats, poultry, and packaged frozen foods can be stored for weeks at below freezing temperatures. That same forward-thinking and advanced design will govern the Philco refrigerator that's coming after victory. Watch for it. It will be worthy of all that has made the Philco name famous for quality the world over.
I've bent my shell pink ears to a lot of these programs, and I've about come to the conclusion that your Philco Radio Hall of Fame is acquiring a monopoly on presenting swell singing groups. Today's group, according to Variety, is one of America's finest quartets. It's really a quintet. One of the boys plays piano. And I think any outfit that can take a number called Dry Bones and carry it over the goal line for 1 million record sales is right up there in quality with the Army-Navy football teams. And that's good enough to bring to your Radio Hall of Fame the Delta Rhythm Boys. Years, Jackie Miles, a monologist with an intimate individual style, has become one of the top drawing cards in the nightclub field. which entitles him to a cleared space between tables in the nightclub corner of your Radio Hall of Fame. He also deserves some resounding applause for his wonderful work in entertaining our GIs in the tough China-Burma-India theater from which he has just returned. I'm sure the fellows overseas went for his brand of humor. I know if I were there, I'd walk a camel to see Miles. Jackie Miles.
Thank you, Carol Anderson. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I've done so much traveling in the past few months, I'm going to make some president a very good wife. Well, I had a wonderful trip in from California. I came in on one of those modern streamlined trains. I'll never forget the trip. I got on the train, pushed a button out, came my seat, pushed another button out, came a magazine, pushed a third button out, came a cigar, pushed a conductor out, came my teeth. I sat down at my seat. The conductor came around for his tickets. I gave him mine. There was a little fellow sitting next to me. The conductor looked at him and said, "Where's your ticket?" The little guy looked up and said, "I don't lose it. I didn't have any." The conductor said, "But you're supposed to have a ticket." He said, "I'm supposed to have a job and money, too. I ain't got that either." The conductor said, "Do you mean to tell me you haven't got a ticket?" He said, "I didn't mean to tell you. You asked me." "So you don't ask me, I don't say nothing. I ain't bothering nobody. Don't bother me." Conductor said, "But what's the idea?" The little guy said, "Oh, that." He said, "My daughter's getting married in New York. I haven't got any money. I got to be at my daughter's wedding, so I'm going. That's all." "You're nosy, huh?" Conductor said, "Well, if it's for your daughter's wedding, okay, you can sneak the ride." And he walked up a little further, and he found a second fellow hiding under the seat. He looked at him, and he said, "Where's your ticket?" Second fellow looked up and said, "Who knows from tickets? He invited me to the wedding." But I'm supposed to sing now. I'm glad you hear what comes out. I've chosen the hit song of a few seasons ago called "Deep in the Heart of Texas." Now, we've modernized the song, but you're supposed to join in the same place. And if you do, we'll have a lot of fun. So don't forget. Join in. Tonight are big and bright. Thank you very much for your applause. Now for my second song. I didn't mean that to be fresh, but that's how they write songs. You know, they insult the intelligence of the public. 90% of them have no meaning. Started a few seasons ago with a thing called the Umbrella Man, which went something like this. "Oh, turtle, oh, my love, my turtle, oh, my love, my turtle, I ate." Whatever that means. Just picture Paul Whiteman's huge orchestra with the choir and he with a stick waving, and all you hear is, "Turtle, oh, my love, my turtle." Then they gave us three little fishes. Boo, boo, did him, dat him, want him, chew. Who needs it? And the man with the mandolin. Piddly, um, bum, bum, piddly, um, bum. At least that had one word, bum. And I think they meant the composer. And then we had Daddy. "I want a diamond ring, champagne, caviar, a stable coat, a pocket car, and the guy ain't working." And the old love songs were just as silly. 25 years ago, this was a big hit, but it was silly. "A pretty girl is like a melody." You ever see a melody with blue eyes, blonde hair, and high heels? 16 years ago, this one only lately. "I walk alone because to tell you the truth, I'll be lonely." When does he want to be lonely? When he's with his friends? Silly. And then he says, "I don't mind being lonely if you're lonely too." How do you like a bum like that? Just because he's miserable, she's got to be miserable. And do you remember this one? "I'll build a stairway to the stars." Union wages what they are today. Time and a half overtime, not figuring priorities, this creep is going to build a stairway to the stars. "Or this is the beginning of the end." Then why do they start? "Or I love life and I want to live." Big deal. Who don't? And then, "Tangerine, how I love you." As a grown-up man making love to a baby orange. And I've got a brother. He's working in a defense plant. You know, he's a happy-go-lucky type of fella. He likes to sing when he works. And the other day, he was walking around the plant just singing to himself. "Yo, my fella, Gadusha, Shalamarusha." They locked him up for Japanese spy.
Oh, thank you, Jackie Miles. Don't go away. But now, strike up the band for the Dean of Popular American Music, the one and only Paul Whiteman. Paul, everybody who comes on this program mentions your size. But Landis is different. I'm not going to speak about your figure.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
I don't have to. It speaks for itself. But you know, Paul, you're one person who really deserves to be in, on, and of the Radio Hall of Fame. You're a real pillar of the Hall of Fame. You're a doorstep. You're
a bay window.
Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
But, Paul, seriously, I do remember that for a time you were a lot thinner.
I was then, but it's different now, which is a convenient way of leading into our Now and Then number, in which we take a tune which has aged a couple of decades and put it over the way it was played when it was first popular. You know, right off the cuff. Then we give it the Buck Rogers treatment, strictly modern. But first, the old music mill grinds out the corn with On the Gin, Gin, Ginny Shore. All right, boys, oh, you kid, Now the same song with an arrangement as up to the minute as today's news. On the Gin, Gin, Ginny Shore, right now. Thank you.
A few years ago, a super colossal little lady walked into a movie studio to do a job of having her piano solo dubbed into a feature picture. She wasn't to be in the picture, just her music. But the folks at the studio took one slant at her and said, "Baby, you ought to be in pictures yourself." And then those fairy godfathers waved their magic contracts, and presto, Cinderella Diana Lynn was a movie actress, complete with pumpkin Cadillac and an agent. And she's become such a very good motion picture actress, one of the outstanding new stars, with fine performances in Paramount's The Miracle of Morgan's Creek and Our Hearts Were Young and Gay, that you've whisked her right into the silver screen nook of your Radio Hall of Fame. Miss Diana Lynn. Well, welcome to the Hall of Fame, Diana.
Thank you, Carol.
And just to make you feel right at home, I'd like to introduce you to Paul Whiteman.
How do you do, Miss Lynn?
Oh, Mr. Whiteman, I've heard so much of you.
You have?
Yes. And there is so much of you.
Oh, Diana, don't make fun of Paul. He just has the wrong sponsor.
What do you mean?
He's so round, so firm, so fully packed.
He doesn't look so firm.
Wait a minute.
Diana, you seem to be just a little jittery.
Oh, I am. Tomorrow's my big test. I'm on information, please. Imagine me competing with all those experts.
Well, don't be nervous. After all, what is information, please? It's just it pays to be ignorant spelled backwards.
Well, I'm still a little afraid of facing Clifton Fadiman.
I have an idea, Diana. Tell you what you do. Just cross those beautiful legs and show a little of your knee. And the questions will be a lot easier.
Yes, but it might make the answers a lot tougher.
Well, one thing I am sure of, Diana, they can't stump you on any questions about music, especially if you can use your 10 fingers in the answer. And as a case in point, let's see what you can do about an old classicist by the name of Edvard Grieg.
Thank you.
Your Radio Hall of Fame will continue after station identification. This is the Blue Network. You are listening to Philco's Radio Hall of Fame, which today honors Charles Boyer, Jackie Miles, Nan Wynn, Diana Lynn, and the Delta Rhythm Boys, as well as Paul Whiteman and the orchestra and chorus. And your guest mistress of ceremonies, Carol Landis.
Well, thank you, Glenn Riggs. Charles Boyer is in your Radio Hall of Fame, not because he's the king of the Casbah, or because he has recently become an American citizen, or because he will soon appear with Irene Dunne in the Columbia picture, together again, and definitely not because he's practically my ideal man. But you have honored him because he has devoted himself so successfully to promoting Franco-American friendship, and because he is one of the finest actors in motion pictures. This afternoon, Mr. Boyer brings that splendid talent of his to a dramatic playlist. It is July 28th in the year 1794, in a France where the fall of the Bastille is not a distant memory, but an almost fresh reality. In a France whose republic is but a squalling infant, the birth pangs of which only the year before had been accompanied by the death throes of Louis XVI and his Austrian queen. In a France which even now was still fighting for its life against a coalition of nations. In a prison of the Paris of that day, the Paris of the Reign of Terror, are two men, one of them in his 30s, the other somewhat older. With a strange calm, strange because they know their execution is imminent, they have been talking for hours.
You see, voisin, it is only when one is about to taste the bitterness of death that life seems so incomparably sweet.
Captain DeLille, tell me, is there anything in your life that you really regret?
Me? Well, I've had love, plenty of excitement. I've been a soldier. I had my little moments of glory. Oh, yes, there is one thing I do regret.
What is that?
Well, you see, I'm a poet, and I regret I've written nothing that will live after me.
You never said you were a poet.
I am a very unimportant poet. Very little I've written has been published. But I did write a song. Yes, even now it is still sung. But, like all songs of the moment, it will doubtlessly soon be forgotten.
A song? But do I know it?
Oh, I think you do. It was a song that at one time swept all France.
A song that swept all France?
You think I'm boasting, eh? No. And the story of that song is even more unbelievable. I remember how it all began as if it were yesterday.
Tell me all about it. We have nothing but time.
Well, you will remember, of course, that 2 years ago, on April 20th, 1792, our beloved France went to war with Prussia and Austria. I was in Strasbourg, in Alsace, a captain in the engineers. And it was not until the 25th that word reached us of the declaration. In the distance, we could see the Prussian army assembling to invade us. But we were not downhearted. In the city streets, the speakers were rousing the people, recruiting soldiers.
Sons of freedom, wake to glory!
To arms, ye great soldiers of France! To arms!
All of our hearts must be resolved on victory or death. There can be naught else.
I myself would stand listening to them, spellbound, the blood racing through my veins. I was proud that I was a soldier of France. Everybody, from the mayor to the most simple citizen, was in an ecstasy of patriotism. Well, that evening at his home on the Place de Broglie, my friend Friedrich Baron Dietrich, mayor of Strasbourg, gave a dinner for some of the officers of the Army of the Rhine. He made a speech.
France, with her new hard-won freedom, is aroused as never before. And with freedom as our sword and our shield, we will defeat those tyrants who would desolate our land. They come here with their hireling bands, seeking spoils. We will give them death.
Oh, that was a wonderful speech, Citizen Dietrich.
Thank you, Captain Delisle. You know, Captain, I think you could do something that would be most effective in helping our fight. Even more so, perhaps, than performing so excellently your military duties.
Really? What is that?
You could write a song for our brave Army of the Rhine. A marching song. One that would fire their enthusiasm and keep it at white heat.
Captain DeLille is a writer of songs.
Oh, well, General Lechner, that is...
Only 6 months ago, the captain wrote a beautiful ode to liberty, which Payel, his regimental band leader, set to music. But the captain himself can also compose the music for his songs.
Captain DeLille, write such a song, won't you, as soon as possible? Then send it to me at the front. A good, rousing, marching song will be welcomed by the Army of the Rhine. And now, Mayor Dietrich, I want to discuss with you the possibility of...
Near midnight, I went home to my lodgings at 126 Gandouille. My thoughts were in conflict. I felt I must write a song that night, and yet I also feared I might be unequal to the task, and I wanted to postpone it as long as possible. As I turned the key in the outer door of the house, my landlady's daughter, Fleur, came to meet me. We were in love.
Claude.
Fleur. Isn't this way past your bedtime?
I couldn't sleep anyway, Claude. Not with all the excitement. Claude, now that we're at war, that means you'll be in danger.
Hmm. Will you be worried about me?
So worried?
Well, I suppose it sounds terribly selfish, but I'll be glad you're worried, because it means you love me.
I do.
You know, Fleur, in this half light, your hair looks like a bronze helmet. Nobody ever had hair like you. Come closer to these candles.
Well,
I want to look at your sweet, sweet face. And your eyes, and your lips. Fleur, do you think I could hold you like this for the rest of my life?
It would be difficult, darling.
I want to hold you. I don't want to ever let you out of my arms.
My dear, my dearest Claude.
I want to love you like this, and kiss you like this. You know, when I'm with you, I feel like a big child. I almost feel like crying. I feel so good. It hurts. It hurts. It's a wonderful pain. It's good.
I understand.
Fleur, my darling, your lips are so soft. They are the softest lips in all of France.
How do you know?
Hmm?
Have you been comparing them with other girls' lips? Claude, you're going to eat me up.
Well, you are dessert for the banquet I had at Mayor Dietrich's house tonight.
That's what I stayed up to ask you. What happened at the banquet?
Oh, well, there were speeches and... Oh, yes, I promised to write a song.
What kind of a song?
A marching song for the Army of the Rhine. General Lechner seemed to think it might help inspire his men in battle. But now I'm afraid I'm not up to it.
You can do it, Claude. Think of all the beautiful poetry you've written. You can.
Hmm. You really have confidence in me?
Of course. I know you. You only want me to tell you how good you are.
Well, perhaps you're right. Well, I must try, anyhow.
And you'll write something really good. I know you will. Good night, my darling.
Good night, my love. A marching song for the Army of the Rhine. The whole city is in the panoply of war. The song, it must echo the thoughts of the people.
Sons of freedom, wake to glory! To arms, you great soldiers of France!
All of our hearts must be resolved on victory or death.
They come here with their hireling bands.
Ye sons of freedom, wake to glory. That's a start. Where's that violin of mine? Oh, here. Paper. Must have paper. Ye sons of freedom, wake to glory. That evening, my song was played in Mayor Districh's drawing room for a few friends. They thought it was a good song, and I was encouraged to have it printed and distributed some copies. And I sent a copy to General Lechner, commanding the Army of the Rhine. But It seemed the soldiers were too busy with the business of war to learn a mere song. And I thought that was the end of it. But to the south, in sunny Marseille, where the people become intoxicated with music, something astonishing happened. On June 22nd, the Club of the Friends of the Constitution gave a banquet for 500 volunteers about to set out for the front. Patriotic speeches were made, and finally, a man named Mireille, a student of medicine in the University of Montpellier, rose.
Citizens, soldiers, comrades, quiet, please. I'm not going to make a speech. What is in my heart, what is in the heart of all of us, is said much better in a song I've found. And I've had copies of it made for you. Defenders of France, sing it with me. Ye sons of freedom, wake to glory. Hark, hark, what myriads bid you rise. Your children, wives, and grandsires hoary. Behold their tears and hear their cries. Behold their tears and hear their cries.
That song was like a spark falling into a powder barrel. It exploded all over the city. It was sung everywhere. And when those 500 volunteers left for the front, they took copies with them. It had become their song, the song of the Marseillaise. On July 30th, they entered Paris singing it, and it took Paris by storm. All the countryside sang it, and all Paris sang it, and then all France. It was as if the soul of a people had burst into incandescent music. It was the song of the revolution. Regiments advanced in battle singing the Marseillaise. It was like a flaming sword pointed at the heart of the enemy. It helped make France irresistible. Well, meanwhile, I was at Uningen, near the border. I remember a fellow officer one day coming to me.
Captain, what is that you have there?
Eh? This? Oh, this is the latest journal from Paris.
What is the news?
Oh, not much. The chief excitement seems to be about some volunteers from Paris who entered the city singing a song called the Marseillaise, and now it is the rage.
The Marseillaise? It must be something very new. I've never heard of it.
Well, neither have I. Yes. Yes, it was my song, my friend, but I didn't know it. Neither did anybody else, because the name of the author was not even printed on a single copy of the Song of the Revolution. And it became even more the Song of the Revolution when the Parisian mobs, thirsting for the blood of Louis XVI, stormed the Tuileries, singing the Marseillaise. Well, I could not stomach tyranny of any kind. And when that filthy Robespierre began his reign of terror, and the streets ran red, I resigned my commission. Oh, my sweetheart, Fleur, in disgust at me, married a sans-culotte. And I wrote, and I spoke against the Committee of Public Safety. And finally,
Citizen Claude Joseph Rouget de Lille, have you anything to say in your defense?
I have no need to defend any action of mine. You and other creatures of Robespierre must defend yourselves against the verdict of posterity. You have murdered good men like my friend Mayor Dietrich and that brave defender of France, General Lacner.
Guilty. You will be removed to La Force prison to await execution as a counter-revolutionary.
Well, that's the story, voisin. Now, I am here with you in this cell, awaiting my final interview with Madame la Guillotine.
So they say you are a counter-revolutionary. Me? I'm a Girondist. I hate Robespierre, Saint-Just, and all of those filthy Jacobins. I tell you, Delisle,
it is your Norman voisin and citizen Claude Joseph Rouget Delisle. The list has arrived. You die tomorrow. I'm sorry to be so short with you. Tomorrow you will be even shorter.
So at last it's come. Tomorrow the lady of the shop tongue speaks to us.
It is too bad that Madame la Guillotine has such a clipped speech.
On with Robespierre!
To the guillotine!
The tyrant has been overthrown!
Did you hear that? Robespierre to the guillotine. The tyrant has been overthrown.
Look, in the courtyard, a mob. They've broken down the gates of the prison.
Man, release the prisoners! Release
What's the prisoners?
They're releasing the prisoners.
Can dungeons fold and bars confine thee? For with thy noble spirit came, for with thy noble spirit came. Too long the world has wept thee wailing, as both the staggered tyrants weep. But freedom is a sword and shield, and all their hearts are unavailing.
Thank God.
Wonderful Roger DeLisle. But I'm curious, what happened to Roger DeLisle after he was so dramatically released from prison?
Well, the rest of his life was not very dramatic. He resumed his commission, became a major, and then resigned after a squabble with his superior officer. Napoleon's army marched to victory after victory to the Marseillaise. But, finally, the Marseillaise was banned by Napoleon as being too revolutionary. It was resurrected during the July Revolution of 1830... And Delisle was granted a small pension by King Louis Philippe, but he died in 1836 at the age of 76, tragically forgotten.
And that was the end of Roger DeLisle?
Not quite. During the First World War, the French government ordered the body of Captain Delisle reinterred in Les Invalides, near the one-time Lieutenant Bonaparte. And there, Carol, you will find his mortal remains, while his spirit lives on forever in his immortal song.
Thank you, Charles Boyer.
How about using your imagination for a few moments? Imagine yourself visiting your Philco dealer after victory. He has promised you a demonstration of an entirely new kind of radio performance. You sit down and admire a handsome modern cabinet. Then your Philco dealer asks you to close your eyes and listen. It's amazing. Suddenly you seem to be right beside the microphone in the studio. Not a whisper of noise or static. Marvelous new beauty of tone. Deep, rich basses and high, brilliant trebles with glorious overtones that your pre-war radio simply couldn't reproduce. Why, it's like having a front row seat at the Radio Hall of Fame. What's the secret? It's a great new development of electronic research that is coming from the Philco laboratories after victory. The Philco Super FM system. You've heard about FM, the new system of broadcasting that does away with static and station interference and gives you higher fidelity of tone. Philco Super FM will be an amazing improvement over anything you've ever heard in FM or standard reception. Look forward to owning a new Philco radio or radio phonograph with the amazing new Philco Super FM system. It will bring studio performance into your home, opening up a glorious new world of entertainment for you to enjoy.
And here again are the Delta Rhythm Boys with their own version of 1 o'clock Jump.
Jump any old time, the rhythm is fine. Oh yeah, it makes you want to have a melody. Oh ho, and the doozy mellow follow soon keeps you jumping all around, all around.
Taking the town, catching on all around, yeah, it's a sender. It keeps you happy all the time. I'm on my way to the place where Johnny was found.
You put your foot out and throw your hip out and shake it easy. When you shake it, don't you break it, but you're doing it boogie woogie. Hi, 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 it's in the groove. And when you jump back, you throw your shoulders back, and then you start all over, but you never want to stop it when it's groovy.
I gotta go now, I gotta go now, I gotta really wanna fight, gotta hurry now, because I'm 15. Cut up the door, but I'm sure fast when you're having fun. Break it up, break it up, I gotta keep jumping all the time, jumping all the time, ma.
I can't stop this jive right now because it feels so good and how it makes me want to jump all day. Stomp my worries all away. So just before you go, let's rip this mess on out and jump to some more.
I date 1 o'clock and I gotta be on my way. Gotta date 1 o'clock and I really can't afford to stay. Gotta date 1 o'clock and it's not so very far away.
Charles Boyer, handsome and romantic.
Yes, he is, but I was disappointed.
Disappointed?
Yeah, when he looked at me, his eyes didn't light up.
So maybe. Maybe his machine was tilted.
Oh. Diana, this is Jackie Miles.
Oh, he's cute. What there is of him. I'd like to give him a hug.
I'd like to give him a kiss.
Is there anybody out there who would like to give me a blood transfusion?
We like you, Jackie. And neither Carol nor I have a date tonight.
Why don't you take out Paul Whiteman and split him up between the two of you?
But, Jackie, we like you. Well, we could go out and have fun.
I'm sorry. I don't smoke, drink, or go out with girls.
You don't?
Of course not. Why do you think I look so bad?
Carol, haven't I met Jackie somewhere before?
You may have, Diana. He's Frank Sinatra's brother.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm the one that's living.
You want to bet?
Hey, I remember you, Miss Lynn. The last picture I saw of you was at the Paramount at the same time Frank Sinatra was there. And gee, backstage at the theater, I saw three kids waiting around for The Voice. That's all that's left of him. And they were three tough kids, and this is just how these tough kids acted back there.
Hey, Gordy, how long are we going to wait around here, huh?
Yeah, take it easy. We've only been standing here 3 days. I ain't leaving till I see Frankie. Oh, that Frankie. That darling Frankie.
Gordy, don't look now, but your bobby socks is quivering.
Hey, Goyles, you're waiting for The Voice?
Yeah, what's it to you, fresh guy? Hey, wait a minute. Is that your face, or did you play for Notre Dame yesterday?
Don't be so smart. I'll give you a hit in the head. I'll give you a hit in the eye. I'll give you a hit in the chin. I'll give you a hit in...
Careful there, buddy.
Say, Stinky, I bet you don't even know Sinatra.
What, are you blowing your top or something? Frank and me are just like my two fingers, only mine is fatter.
Well, if you know so much, is it true that Frankie lives in an oxygen tent?
Get out of there. That's only political propaganda. Well, while I'm waiting for my friend, Mr. Sinatra, I think I'll read the papers and improve my mind. Hey, ain't that wonderful the way that Superman does things? If there's a million airplanes attacking our cities, into the phone booth, out comes Superman, no more airplanes. If there's a million submarines attacking our ships, into the phone booth, out comes Superman, no more submarines. You know, I was thinking all day today, if somebody was using that phone, we could lose the war.
Well,
Well, let's see what else they got here.
What about little orphan Nanny?
I gave her up a long time ago. 15 years now, the same dress.
Hey, I'm getting sick and tired hanging around here. Let's do something exciting.
I don't want nothing exciting. I want to see Frankie.
Yeah, ain't he wonderful? I wish I could sing like him.
I like Dick Haymes. Ow!
Frankie is my ideal, and you shouldn't even act like that.
You mean you want to be like Sinatra when you get bigger?
Who has to get bigger? I'm going to make my pop buy me a bow tie for Christmas.
Say, if Santa Claus gives us each one wish, what would you say?
Oh, I'd say, oh, Santa Claus, make me like Paulette Goddard.
I'd say, oh, Santa Claus, make me like Lana Turner.
I'd say, oh, listen, is there a plan too much to ask for?
Manwin again shows why she is on your Radio Hall of Fame as she puts her voice on its best behavior in Ain't Misbehavin'.
No one to walk with, all by myself. No one to talk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's just you I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. Like Jack Horner in the corner, don't go nowhere. What do I care, baby? Your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me, beloved, I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and the radio. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. I've no one to walk with, I'm all by myself. No one to talk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. In this behavior, I'm saving all of my love for you. I know for certain the one that I love. I'm due with certain, it's just you I'm thinking of. In this behavior, I'm saving all of my love for you. Like Jack Horner in the corner, never go nowhere. What do I care? Your kisses are well worth the waiting for. I hope I don't have long to wait. I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving all of my love for you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, to paraphrase Mr. Gilbert of the noted firm of Gilbert and Sullivan, I've got a little list of folks who would be missed. And that includes Charles Boyer, Diana Lynn, Jackie Miles, Nan Wynn, the Delta Rhythm Boys, Paul Whiteman, and the other charming and talented people who participated with me on today's Filkel show. And the list could certainly be extended to include next week's guests. One of radio's funniest comedy teams, Burns and Allen, Louis Jordan, writer of Is You Is or Is You Ain't, Marion Hutton, and your guest master of ceremonies, Red Barber. And now, as I leave Glenn Riggs to ring the closing bell, this is Carol Landis saying so long to your Radio Hall of Fame.
Sunday at this time, Philco Corporation brings you your Radio Hall of Fame. In the name of Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada. After victory, those dealers will bring new products for good living to your home. Finer radios, phonographs, refrigerators, and air conditioners under the Philco name. Famous for quality the world over. Philco Corporation invites you to listen to more stars made great by your recognition of their achievements next week when we again throw open the doors of your Radio Hall of Fame. The Blue Network.